G'day and welcome to Aussie Vision. I'm Dale.
And g'day, I'm Mike.
And welcome to our final instalment of going through all the songs that have been selected for Eurovision 2024 and the national final season kind of wrap up just a few weeks late.
Yeah, we're a couple of weeks late. It's been a big couple of weeks, so we finally found time tonight to have a chat.
Exactly. Yeah, look, I mean, you know what it's like at the end of that whole season. Everyone is exhausted. We've been up since 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. for months. And then we've got all the songs. You've got to listen to all the songs. So we just needed a little bit of time and we're back for it tonight. But hey, it's not horribly hot and sweaty now. We've moved seasons in that time.
Exactly. Just so everyone knows, we do film this in our back sort of office area. Normally it is sweating bullets in here, but we're a very nice cold 21 degrees here in Brisbane tonight, so it's very, very nice.
And that's 21 degrees Celsius.
Yes.
That's cold for Queensland and Australia at this time of year.
I'm wearing two layers and it's 21 degrees.
All right, well, look, let's get on to, because again, as always, we've got a lot of songs to get through here. So what are we starting with, Michael?
Well, we are off to the winner of Melody Festivalen, our hosts, Sweden. Let's have a listen to Marcus and Martinus with Unforgettable.
All right, Michael, they were runner-up last year to Loreen. The Norwegian twins, or twinks, are going to represent Sweden. What do you think about them winning?
Well, first and foremost, I actually think it was the right winner for a Melody Festivalen this year. I definitely would have picked this one out of everything that appeared in the final. I actually feel this is a really good progression from what they did musically last year, as well as the presentation and performance. I thought it went up another notch this year. So, yeah, good on the boys. I think they deserve the crown.
Yeah, I think overall impression is fantastic. Like, very similar kind of vein of what they had last year, a bit darker perhaps, you know, just in feel. I probably preferred the song slightly last year, but I mean, you know, repetitive song over a kind of electro thing going on. This has a bit more oomph and has overall impression. Like, that staging is phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And they will be opening the grand final because they have been drawn in slot number one. Which I think is obviously a little tough on the boys. But at the same token, they are really going to set the tone for the grand final. So I don't know, if I'm coming up song number two, you better have some good staging because you're going to look really, really bad compared to this.
Yeah, no, you're right, actually. I didn't thought about poor slot number two. And I think it's a great host entry. Like, I don't think this has enough to take out of the contest. I mean, you never know, this year's quite open. But they're going to get another good result. It might be a little bit like 2016, and it's nice to see the host do well. And it's nice for them to show off what they can do production-wise, because that's Sweden all over, isn't it?
Oh, my God, that staging. Seriously, it's just absolutely wonderful. And also, the song itself is fine.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. It's good standard, you know, Scandinavian pop fare. It's not going to blow anyone's socks off. But at the same token, as you say, very, very good host entry.
And I have to say, compared to 2018, when it was Benjamin Ingrosso with Dance You Off, and there was a lot of people saying, look, too much like a video, that it didn't connect with viewers. They didn't make the same mistake this time because it starts really tight, but it opens up and gets really big. And then you see the studio audience and you feel like it's more of a live performance by the end of it, which is, I think, a very clever move.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Sweden learned their lesson on that one. And also, it is a live performance, so people want to see it. Otherwise, yeah, you will probably get punished with the votes.
Now, we won't go into a full Melfest recap because it has been a couple of weeks. But look, second place was Medina with Que Sera. They were a whole 73 points behind. So never in doubt about who was going to win. But I thought they did really well to come second.
Yeah, very much so. I always liked the song. But then again, it sounds like a football chant kind of song. So it is very, very kind of me. Not surprised they came second.
Smash Into Pieces was third, which was a bit of a surprise. I thought they were stronger last year, but hey, they did well to come third, good in the public vote. Cassiopeia in fourth place. She was second with the juries. Ooh. Did okay with the public, fourth overall. Kind of fun Cassiopeia song.
Yeah, it was. Probably not as strong as her last entry, I want to say, but it was still a lot of fun.
She can write a song.
Oh, yeah.
God, yeah. Then we had like Liamu next in fifth place, who did okay, but another good result for him without kind of ever really getting up there. I think he's come like third, fourth, fifth, and even with a song he's written sixth or something, like all the songs.
Quintessential Liamu, isn't it? Sort of midfield in the grand final.
Now, we had a couple little bangers next, and I think a bit of a favourite of ours here. Danny Saucedo with Happy That You Found Me, sixth place. But I have to tell you, this might be my most played song this month.
I definitely have been playing this one quite a lot. I didn't mind the live performance, even with the bit of the dad dancing and stuff like that going on, but it does sound very Swedish House Mafia from about, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Exactly. That's why I like it, because it reminds me of when I used to go out clubbing. But also, he did a fun performance and a good little note. He forgot some lyrics. He threw his mic around. It was entertaining. Just a couple of other ones here. Maria Sir, I thought, came back with a much better song this year. She was in seventh place. And also another one of your favorites, and mine as well, Jacqueline with Effortless, kind of robbed down in ninth place.
Ninth? Why is that in ninth? Like, I'm sorry, it's so much better than a lot of the other stuff that was in the grand finals. So I thought, very unfair on her.
I thought the juries, they came for her pretty well. She's pretty high, but the public didn't.
Mm.
It honestly maybe didn't do well because it didn't sound like a Melfair song. It actually sounded something that you would hear in the pop charts outside of Sweden. And maybe the Swedish people went, no, we want our Melfair sound.
I will agree with that. It definitely sounded a bit more radio than it did Melfest.
And the last one to talk about, Dotter. A lot of people were hyping the song up beforehand, came last.
I never understood why people were hyping it up. I just never felt anything for that. I mean, I thought her performance was quite good. I really, really loved Dotter, but that wasn't it for me.
Yeah, it was, to me, they're always going to be the last few. So, yeah, I was very surprised by that. I don't know what was going on with people there, but I like her. I like her to come back, but come back with a bop. No more ballads, please, Dotter.
Allora, moving on, we had one of our internal selections come out a couple of weeks ago as well, Dale. Let's head off to Greece. Let's have a listen to Marina Sati with Zari. Well, Marina and Greece, Dale, what do you think of this one?
I am obsessed with this. I don't really know why or how or what that video is, but I just love it. You know, we've been calling for Greece to be a little bit more Greek.
Well, you have.
Well, I have. Yeah, I have year on year for years now. Now, I didn't want them to go full stereotype, and I wouldn't say this has, because I don't know what this is, but it is so interesting. She's a really interesting artist. This is very much in the realm of the kind of stuff that she does, which is a bit out there. And I know, you know, she had a lot of songs sent to her, a lot of stuff that she went through, and she really picked out what matched her as an artist. It feels authentic to her. This is the kind of crazy stuff she does, and it has that Greek flavor while still being modern and weird and all over the shop. It's just phenomenal. That video is everything. I'm obsessed, but I can see how this would polarize people.
Yes. I don't know what I was expecting from Greece, but I was not expecting this. Now, musically, it is really, really interesting. Like, it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. Some people are just going to think it's a bunch of random noises put together or whatever. But personally, absolutely love it. I have not stopped playing it since it came out. And also, I will say, I probably more lean towards watching it with a visual rather than just listening to the studio track, because I do think it kind of needs that visual stimulation to almost sew the whole thing together.
Yeah, no, I hear you there. And that's always a danger when it comes to songs with videos, right? Because the video is so unique and it kind of goes with it, and she's so fantastic. But I think there's still songs that just need that visual representation. I'd still say Norway is the same. I don't listen to Norway in Spotify very often. I watch it. And I think, though, I can still enjoy this in Spotify, but I probably have those images in my head, and I'm really intrigued about how they're going to stage this. So even though I love it, I mean, there's some question marks, because it's like that dude in the car in the video. There's whiplash at times, because you're being thrown from that like high-pitched kind of old school Greek ballad thing going on to then full like club 4 a.m. in you know, somewhere, some Greek island somewhere.
Oh, I just want to twerk every time that comes on.
And you do.
But you're right, I have no idea how they are going to stage this and make it cohesive, because the song itself just probably doesn't lend, in my mind, to a live sort of stage performance. But who knows, maybe they'll completely surprise us and come out with this concept. Hopefully they do, because I think it really deserves something really, really good.
Yeah, and I just like them taking a risk, you know. And it's, I mean, there's nothing wrong with going for a bit of like great European pop, like, you know, we do it half the time in Australia, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think they've done a great job of it at times. But this is just something to just try something different. Have a risk. Do something different, Greece. And I love it. I really love they've taken this risk. Let's hope it pays off.
Well, Dale, next we are off to Portugal for the winner of Festival de Canção from this year. Let's have a listen to Yolanda with Grito. Well, Portugal is Portugaling again, Dale. What do we think of this one?
Look, I love Portugal does their own thing, and that's great. And I must say, even though the Eurovision entries and I in recent years have a complicated relationship, I always love what they bring in Festival de Canção. They very much do them, and often their songs are absolutely loved. They often aren't the ones chosen for Eurovision. This year felt not like the greatest Festival de Canção. I just really didn't get excited by a lot of stuff in there. And this is all very good and very Portuguese and all fine. And God, she's got a great voice and she emotes and it's all danced and everything. But I just don't feel anything for this. And I don't really warm to it in any way, shape or form. But I just haven't with a lot of Portuguese entries lately. And then they surprised me. So maybe I've got a blind spot.
I'm very much the same, I have to say here. Like, I usually go either way with these types of Portuguese entries. Now, for example, O Jardim, their home entry in 2018, I loved it. Like, almost in tears every time I heard it. Saudade, Saudade from Torino, not a thing. Hated it.
Really?
Well, I wouldn't say I hated it. I just didn't feel anything for it, when, obviously, it was a really lovely song. I kind of feel the same way with this. I respect the song, and I definitely respect her vocal ability, because she was incredible live. I thought she was very captivating. But it does nothing for me. Absolutely nothing for me.
Fair enough. And I must say, Portugal brings it live. And Saudade, Saudade was a really good example. I didn't really think much of it in the national final, but I thought they staged it so beautifully. Mm. And it was such a lovely little palate cleanser, and the whole connection with them and the audience, beautiful. Now, this one may have that ability to do, because we've got so much crazy this year. We've got nothing really like this. People kind of tend to go for this a little bit. I do think it's probably one of their weaker entries have sent. But as I said before, I'm not writing them off. Mm. I mean, I kind of am. But I'm just going to put up a big caveat and say I get Portugal wrong every year, except for like 2017, 2018, 2019. In the 2020s, I'm terrible at knowing what our Portugal's going to go.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same, I will agree. I don't think it's dead in the water. It could either be a real palate cleanser that stands out from some of the really bombastic entries, or it is a massive toilet break. I just don't know which one it's going to be so far.
We'll see.
Allora, Dale, now we're going to head off to the other side of Europe. Let's go to Georgia, one of their internal entries from this year. This is Nutsa Buzaladze with Firefighter. I sit in the air, I sit in the air, I'm rising from the ashes like a phoenix, yeah. What do you think of Georgia this year, Dale?
We always have this really big build-up to the last few songs of the year of Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, which we'll be talking about soon. And you wait with all that anticipation. So I think often you feel a bit let down because it's very hard for them to wow you because there's all this waiting time. We've seen every other song, and by the time you're like, is that it? And I kind of felt a little bit like this at first because Nuzza is a really good artist. She has done a lot of stuff, big international competitions. I was really excited about what it was going to be. And then I think what was the song, it kind of feels very cliche Europop, which often I might quite like. And so I didn't really kind of get into it at first, but the more I listen to it, the more I think it has potential. And I'm not quite sure about how I feel about it personally, but she can do a good job of this.
Yes. I'm going to agree with a lot of what you just said there. You're right. There was a big build-up for her. She was, you know, she's been touted for quite a long time. She is a very experienced artist. And I think there's something about her that can carry this further than it really deserves to go. Because the song itself, I find incredibly underwhelming. What is that, like, dance break thing in the kind of a third of the way through it and stuff like that? It was almost like they had some good parts of songs and they kind of all mashed it together to make a Eurovision song in inverted commas. I do think she's good enough to bring it all together with a live performance. But having said that, this is a big, big vocal that she's got to do here. And she's going to be expected to dance and flip and do all sorts of stuff. I don't know, a lot of work to do here, I reckon, with Georgia. A lot of work to do.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say they've staged their entries amazingly well in the past.
Last year was awful.
So, I am a little bit worried about that staging, but if anyone can do it, she can. And look, I know it's very generic, and I know, like, there's a dance break midway through and whatever, but, you know, I've loved some of that stuff in recent years. There's some awful lyrics, like the rising like a phoenix or whatever it is. I'm like, oh, so cliche. But, like, there's, like, the put out the fire, you know, that bit. Like,
yeah, it was the bit I hated.
What was that?
That was the bit I hated.
Oh, really? I really like that bit. I think there's some little moments, and she can make this kind of, like, if you do cliche Eurovision dance bop girl well, people will buy what, they don't care what you're saying. Like, I don't know what Chanel was saying. Like, I mean, at the first I did, I looked up the lyrics. But, like, people don't know. As long as you put on a show, no one gives a rat's. I mean, what was Eleni Ferreira singing about? Those lyrics were woeful. Yeah. So if you can bring on a show, you can go further than expected.
Yeah, and I kind of suspect she might be able to carry this a bit further than it really deserves to go. Okay, Dale, well, next we're heading off to the Georgian's near neighbours, Armenia, for their entry this year. Let's have a listen to La Daniva with Jaco. What do you think of Armenia, Dale?
This is really interesting. Like, this actually was worth the wait, I think, because I love what they've done here. Again, this reminds me a little bit where we were talking about Estonia earlier in the series, that this really sounds to me like something we heard in the 2000s. Not this Europop kind of stuff. That was like what people listen commercially. Eurovision was doing all this kind of stuff. And I love that they really lent into it. It's a little bit messy, but I think she's going to really carry it and has enough moments. And you can see that the song is going to kind of go through these different stages. And he's playing different instruments and all sorts. And I think it's going to hark back to that kind of 2000s feel. And people love folky, you know, Euro stuff. They love seeing that kind of thing. And I think this could do pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm going to agree. There's definitely an audience for this type of music, isn't it? We've said that about the sort of traditional sounding Moldovan songs in the past as well. People write them off going, oh, it's a yesteryear thing, but my God, they, all of a sudden they get votes. I can see the same happening here with Armenia. Now, for me, I was very surprised because from Armenia recently, we've had some more modern and kind of slicker type of pop music, which they've done very, very well. So they've definitely gone in a different direction, whether that's a reaction to needing to perhaps, you know, get televote in the semi-final. Who knows? Possibly, because it's certainly, I think, going to attract some voters on the app and through the lines.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good artists in Armenia. I mean, they're known for doing this is what they do. But I think the timing is right. Like, this feels like the kind of time where, again, there's a lot of national identity happening in Eurovision songs. that has been helped a little bit from the semi-final. But there's other things going on, I think, geopolitically, that's kind of leaning into that. And they just seem very good at what they do. Like, this seems very slick, even though it's all a bit focusing all over the place. And look, I kind of really enjoy it. I don't, like, love it. Like, it's not in my 10, but it's not far off it. Like, it's something I enjoy it. I smile when watching it. It's just, it's joyful without me kind of seeking it out in a way.
No, I will totally agree with that. There is an almost joyous feel to the whole thing, isn't there? Yeah, not something I would generally seek out, but I can put my other hat on as an analyst and go, this is probably going to do pretty well, particularly if they can harness that energy into something that comes through the camera. If they can do that, I think I wouldn't say onto a winner, but they're definitely onto a decent result here.
And get into that grand final, get a good public vote in that grand final, perhaps. I mean, there's a lot of televote competition. Mm-hmm. Can't see this being a jury thing that they're going to necessarily love. But again, I just like that these countries are just doing something different, trying something out. You don't have to go down this road forever. Mm. But hey, when Moldova's having a year off this stuff, go in and jump in their area and take their points.
Well, Dale, we're off to Azerbaijan now and their entry. Let's have a listen to Fari featuring Ilkin Dolotov with Izinle Apar.
Well, Mike, it was the very last song of the whole year to be released. Was it worth the wait?
No. No, look, I was going to say, interesting choice by Azerbaijan, but my initial reaction was completely the opposite. I found this very, very bland. For me, it's like they have this kind of average song and they've Azerbaijaned it up with some instruments and a bit of wailing. And again, made it Eurovision in inverted commas. So, I don't know, it just feels a bit too one-paced and it's just not doing it for me.
Yeah, I'm really quite surprised. I mean, if you wrote this on paper about what it is, I'd probably get excited by it. You know, okay, we've got some instrumentation. I love that kind of anything from there. The wailingness of whatever going in this direction. But then the actual result, it just feels... I don't know, it just feels dull and it feels just a bit almost like manufactured, where I think we just spoke about Armenia and like we don't really want to compare Armenia and Azerbaijan too much, but Armenia just feels real and authentic and joyous, as we said. This just feels we've put all these things in a blender and meshed it up and we've got this thing, and it's just like I find it very disappointing.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. When I actually listen to the song, I can hear some decent quality in the production, and I certainly think the vocals here might be very, very good live, and that's where that wailing and everything might really bring the song to life. So I don't think it's the worst thing I've heard, but my God, they're going to need the staging of a lifetime to get a pulse out of voters on this one, because I can just see... this passing people by.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as you said, a pulse. I mean, I think it's just the kind of song people talk over each other or just have a conversation or go and get a drink or go to the bathroom. I just don't think, unless they can kind of, I don't know what, well, how can you stage this to kind of wow? Mm. You know, if you're going to have this kind of it's barely mid-tempo, it's barely any tempo. It's
so monotonous.
It's just there, right? It's just a mass that's just there. And what is it trying to do? Like, to me, this is dead in the water. I can't see what they can do with it. There's not much worse than this, to be honest.
Oh,
I don't. What else is worse?
Okay. Oh, there's a couple.
There's a couple.
Czech Republic, Moldova.
What? No, I disagree. I disagree. But I definitely disagree there. But I don't know. It's really just disappointing. Is that it?
The decline of Azerbaijan continues. They used to be such a powerhouse at Eurovision. I mean, look at last year. I thought the twins were fine, but nothing more than that. And now we've got this. Like, I don't know. Mm. They seem to have given up a little bit.
What are you bringing?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, of course, there is another entry at Eurovision this year that was confirmed in the last few weeks, which is the news that Israel will be participating in the contest. Now, we're not going to, I guess, talk about it artistically, are we?
No, that's a choice I guess we've made. A lot of discussion around how Israel's participation should be covered. We've made a decision, and personally, I will only discuss what effect the Israeli participation has on the contest overall. Because let's be honest, their participation is overshadowing the contest and will continue to do so for the entire duration at this point.
Yeah, it obviously has a massive impact on the contest, and it doesn't matter where you lie on things. There's a massive elephant in the room, and no one's ignoring it. Everyone's talking about it to some degree, whether they are talking about boycotting or whether they're talking about not ranking or ignoring. The fact is, it's there, and it can't be ignored because of the impact it's going to have on the contest. And they have a real chance of getting points and doing better than I think a lot of people are expecting. And how well they do, I think, is going to have a lasting impact on Eurovision as well. So I think for us, it will be something that we, when we talk about, obviously later in the series, about how the results might go and the predictions of what might happen, of course, and the facts of what happened. We can't ignore that they're there. Facts are facts. Whether we like them or not, it is real. They are there.
It would be unrealistic to pretend that Israel is not participating this year.
Exactly. And there's obviously a lot of feelings from fans about everything there. But look, that's just where we feel about this at the moment. And I think in terms of this podcast, there's not else much we're going to really say on it, is there?
No.
Well, Mike, that wraps up the full season of national finals and internal selections.
Yes, our abbreviated version for 2024.
Yeah, I've enjoyed doing the abbreviated version, actually. It's been very good. And thank you for listening. And there's everyone who's still listening in actually increasing numbers for the episodes, which is maybe they just didn't want to hear from us every week.
Probably.
I wouldn't want to hear from us every week either.
Turned out that my family, they don't want to hear from me every week either, don't they?
Well, look, anyway, we will be back in April to start talking about the chances, what's going to happen, what our predictions are. We aren't doing the 37 review and ranks like we did last year. We've already said that we're not going to do that, but there will be some obviously sharing our thoughts on things to come up, and there will be bonus Patreon episodes, particularly if you're interested in those review and rank ones. There will be a couple little ones we sprinkle in there throughout April, so definitely sign up to Patreon if you haven't.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we'll talk about the big chances, how Australia's going to go, all that sort of stuff.
Exactly. We're bringing on to the pre-party season, and let's see if people can sing.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
As always, thanks for joining us and thank you for your support. You can follow us on our social media channels at AussieVisionNet.
And if you want to support the work that we and 20 AussieVision volunteers do and get some really good bonus content, then you can subscribe to our Patreon. The link is in the show notes.
Thanks very much.
Catch you later.